Good Sunday morning, everyone. It's 4:19 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial, Tufts Free Farm Radio. Apologize for getting on the air late. It had nothing to do with daylight saving time and losing an hour or anything like that. When I came into the station, actually, as I was driving down to the station, I heard that we were not on the air. And so, therefore, I had to figure out what happened so we could get back on the air. But anyway, it's 4:20 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, March 13th, 2016 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. And to do that, you have to give me a call. 617-627-3800 is our phone number. 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. And I certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. I'll be right back, I promise. Okay, 4:22 here on the Brown Perspective on Sports. Let's go right to the National Basketball Association. Pacers, 112. The Mavericks, 105. Hornets, 125. The Rockets, 109. Pistons, 125. The 76ers, 111. The Raptors, 112. The Heat, 104. That game went to overtime. The Hawks, 95. The Grizzlies, 83. The Bucks, 103. The Pelicans, 92. Spurs, 98. The Thunder, 85. Nuggets, 116. The Wizards, 100. The Warriors, 123. The Suns, 116. And the Trailblazers, 121. And the Magic, 84. Celtics didn't play last night, and they had their 13-game home winning streak broken on Friday night with a 102-98 loss to the Houston Rockets. But anyway, the Celtics are still one of the better teams in the East, if that surprises anybody. Everybody's talking about not having a big-time player. And their best player, Isaiah Thomas, is, 5'8", maybe? But he made the All-Star team. And he's scoring over 20 points a game. And the rest of the players are, doing their thing. The good thing about the Celtics is that they have a lot of players who are probably maybe all on the same level after Thomas and Jay Crowder. Crowder's averaging over 13 points a game, but then there's a drop-off where we have Sullinger and Evan Turner. Before he was injured, Kelly Olynyk, who were doing the majority of the consistent scoring, and even that wasn't as consistent as you need to go far in the playoffs, at least from my perspective. But anyway, Danny Ainge certainly has a lot of draft choices. He has a lot of options, free agents possibly, who like the way that Brad Stevens coaches and the way that the team plays, which is a defense first type of offense. You generate your offense off your defense. You stop the other team, get the rebounds, and you move down court. going back to old-time Bill Russell, Bob Cousy days. And that's the way, for the most part, the Larry Bird teams played. So we have the makings of a potentially great basketball club. Young guys, we have probably one of our better shooters in Young, who is playing for the Maine Red Claws, Hunter, who showed up at the beginning of the year and was doing some good things. Can't get into the lineup. And primarily because of the fact that the guys in front of him are playing pretty solid basketball. So, how far can we go in the playoffs? I think that will be determined upon where we finish in our division. Right now, we are in third place. And if the season ended right now, let's see, it would be Cleveland and Detroit. It would be Toronto and Indiana. And it would be Boston and Atlanta. And we'd have the home court advantage. And the other series would be Miami and Charlotte. I would think that we'd be able to get by Atlanta in the first round. Now, how far we go after that, that's, okay, again, depends upon where the chips fall. Cleveland and Toronto seem to be not that far ahead of us. LeBron really has to go all out in the games against us to, you know, to pull Cleveland through. I don't think we... In the last game against the Cavaliers, it appeared to me that Jay Crowder spent so much energy trying to keep LeBron in the building that his offense went south. So I think he only scored about 5 or 8 points, something like that. And since no one stepped up to take his place as far as scoring was concerned, you know, we lost by, 6 or 7 points, 8 points, whatever. We didn't get blown out. And that's one of the main things you can say about the Celtics this year. You know, when they come up against, teams like the Cavaliers, who were in the finals last year, you know, we hold our own. And we may say last year, well, because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love were out. But, this year we have been doing the same thing. Why? Because we have improved. Now, looking forward to the draft. We have the Nets pick, and that's going to be right now, if it just ended right here without the ping pong balls bouncing around, making the choice for us, we would have the number 4 pick. Not bad. Somebody coming out of college must be pretty good at the number 4 selection. And we also have another one as well. So we're going to be loaded with players. So the possibility is that Danny's going to make a trade. 2 or 3 players for an established veteran. I didn't know that much about Amir Johnson. And he's done good work, obviously, defensively. But he's certainly not a center. Although he can fill in there. But he hasn't given us the offense you would need from we need is a big scoring center who can run the floor, rebound, and protect the basket. Santa Claus, are you listening? It's 428 here on WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown. On this Sunday, March the 13th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. I shall return.
I just wanted to eat like a normal human being, you know?
Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis are diseases that attack the digestive system.
And nothing fancy. I don't need gourmet cuisine. Just something I could hold down without the horrible pain.
At the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, we're excited about the latest research.
A feeding tube's not my idea of a good meal.
Thousands of people are being treated with new drug therapies, people we couldn't treat before.
I asked the doc if he could get a steak down that feeding tube. He laughed.
There's no cure, and that's frustrating, but that's what keeps us working.
Then one day, there was this new drug. Doc said it doesn't work for everyone, but I got lucky.
Now that we're finding the genes that contribute to these diseases, we're working even harder.
CCFA, the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, offers a lifeline of research, education, and support, but there's still no cure. To help, visit ccfa.org.
Now I'm taking food the old-fashioned way. I'm eating it.
And the message brought to you by your friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 50 degrees outside our studio. We'll be having that Sounds of Praise weather update sometime around 6:30. And so if you want to know what the weather is like and how to dress for today, stay tuned. We have great gospel music coming to you from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock here on WMFL. How do I know? Because I host that program as well. So there. It's 4:32 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on the FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting and iTunes.com, radio and YouTube, and you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, March 13th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. And I got so involved in trying to get the station back on the air that I forgot to mention it's 4:32, not 3:32. If you want to be in touch with everybody else today, you got to set your clock ahead 1 hour. Yeah, I know. It was hard getting up this morning, yeah, for myself as well. But I planned ahead, had the programs all set and ready to go. And except for this little glitch here when I got into the station, I should have been on the air at 4 o'clock. But that's, hey, that's life in the big city. Let's go now to college basketball. March Madness is upon us. Selection week. We still have games to play today in some of the conferences, but Selection Sunday is this Sunday. After those games are played, all the big wigs will sit down and put their heads together and come up with the teams that are going to be in the playoffs, where they're going to be seated, where they're going to go to play their first round games, and all the rest of that stuff. So, if you're into college basketball, you know, I follow it from afar, primarily because there's just so many other things going on in my life. But I'll be looking Monday morning. I won't stay up to watch it. That stuff is boring to me. And this year in college basketball, I can say there is more parity than ever before. I don't think there's a clear number one team out there, at least not from my perspective. And it'll be interesting to see who gets picked and who goes where. And anything can happen. And so that should make for some good playoff March Madness basketball. Okay, but let's look at what happened yesterday. A few games played yesterday. Kansas 81, West Virginia 71, Michigan State 64, Maryland 61. Saw that, a little bit of the end of that game. And Maryland did not impress me. They couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. But they played tough defense, and Michigan State almost made a boo-boo with them being up by 3 points and seconds left to go. Somebody almost, or maybe they did, foul a Maryland player who was throwing the ball toward the basket from the backcourt, which could have been, if it was called, a 3-point shot. I didn't stay long enough to watch the replay. Had other things going on. But Michigan State, who I think is ranked number 3 in the nation, or two or three in the nation, is a much better team than they looked in the final minute. But Maryland played tough defense, and who knows, they could give somebody a problem and move up as well. In other games, here was an upset. Seton Hall, who was unranked, defeated Villanova, who ranked number 3, 69-67. How will that affect the rankings? Have no clue. Just stay tuned. Another upset, North Carolina, ranked number 7, defeated Virginia, ranked number 4, 61-57. Oregon, 88, Utah, 57, Purdue, 76, Michigan, 59, Kentucky, 93, Georgia, 80. In the game where everybody said the LSU did not show up, Texas A&M 71, LSU 38. That could drop them out of the March Madness playoffs. But, hey, you got to play the game. In ladies basketball yesterday, Colorado State 55, Fresno State 54. And that was all that took place on the ladies' side of the college basketball playoffs yesterday. Playoffs. I guess it's division playoffs heading toward March Madness. 437 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. You're probably saying, how come he's on so early? I'm not on early. It's 437. And it's the last time I'm going to say it on this program. You need to set your clock ahead 1 hour if you want to be in tune with everybody else. So, therefore, it's 438. See, I gave you a break. I'll be back.
silent, discarded. But the spirit of America renewed it. The Liberty Bell, reclaimed from the shadows of history, restored to glory to proclaim liberty and justice for all once more. And now, its call echoes across this great nation, summoning that American spirit to gather again for all who remain in a poor state, for the nearly 35 million Americans hoping to leave poverty behind, the one out of every six American children yearning to be free from need, the one out of every 10 American families working hard to rise above the poverty line. Poverty in America. We can end it, and everyone can do something to help. Find out how. Visit PovertyUSA.org, a message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
And also brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:43 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. Let's go to the National Hockey League. Bruins 3 and the Islanders 1. Sabres 3 and the Hurricanes 2. That went to overtime. Red Wings 3. Okay, Red Wings 3 and the Rangers 2. That was also an overtime game. The Wild 4 and the Canadiens 1. Senators 4 and the Maple Leafs 0. Panthers 5 and the Flyers 4. That was a shootout. The Jets 3 and the Avalanche 2. The Blues 5 and the Stars 4. That also was an overtime game. Coyotes 4 and the Oilers 0. Canucks 4 and the Predators 2. New Jersey 2 and the Kings 1. And the Sharks 5 and the Capitals 2. In that Bruins win last night, Louis Erickson at 18:26 of the first period got his 26th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Spooner and Krug. Then in the second period at 10:48, John Tavares got his 26th goal of the year for the Islanders with an assist from Okposo. Tied the score at one apiece. At 19:51, David Pastrnak got his 11th goal of the year with assists from Krejci and Erickson. 2-1 Bruins at the end of two periods. And then, wasn't until 17:26 of the third period, David Pastrnak got his 12th goal of the year with an assist from Erickson. Bruins 3 and the Islanders 1. Grice stopped 28 of the 31 shots sent his way, and Tukarask shot stopped 25 of the 26 shots that were sent at him. Bruins are rolling. And I have to admit, let me admit, I've been saying for the past 2 years, after the Bruins championship year, that the main need for the team was more offense. And you can't have too much offense. But the last 2 years, they looked like they were struggling. And in my estimation, not knowing, and since we didn't make any major trades going into the season, not knowing how well some of the young players were going to continue to improve, I thought scoring was going to be a problem again this year. But as I get a chance to study the stats, and I'm not a metrics man, but this is pretty simple. Excuse me. The Bruins have 86 points. And that puts them in first place in the Eastern Conference. But the thing that got my attention is that they, going into yesterday's game, were third in scoring in the entire league. Dallas has 223 points going into yesterday's games. Washington 217 and the Bruins 210. They got three more, so they're at 213. And so the problem hasn't been with the scoring. The problem has been the defense. and people who are much more knowledgeable than people who've been much more knowledgeable than in hockey than I am were saying that they thought if the Bruins traded Louis Erickson that they should get a premium defenseman who could possibly also score a little bit, and that would be a major need going into the playoffs, since they were obviously going to make the playoffs. Now they move from third place into first place in the Eastern Conference. Florida and Tampa Bay are trailing, but not by much, however. But the fact that they are in first place, you know, is nothing to sneeze at. And one knock I've heard against Claude Julien has been his inability to or unwillingness. He's been moving in the Doc Rivers era, where he has not had much patience putting younger players into the game. And Pasternak was getting shuffled around, and I heard they're going to drop him down to the fourth line, something like that. But anyway, hey, he got two goals last night, so let's not ruin the kid's career and trade him off before he can blossom into the player that we hope he's going to be. Hey, he's only 20 years old, I think. So, you know, I think we ought to have some patience, guys. let's see. The Panthers are looking also. The Florida Panthers won their game 5-4 in a shootout. So they are 1 point behind the Bruins. And Tampa Bay, what did the Lightning do? Did not play. So they are 3 points behind the Bruins. So there, Darnley. See how much you know. Okay, I admit there are areas where I am not as proficient as I would like to be. But hey, you do the best and you leave the rest. 449 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dial. All the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this the Sunday, March 13th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. And to get involved in the conversation, give me a call. 617-627-3800 is the magic number. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. I'll be back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man!
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them, like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within?
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org/AK. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:52 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports here from 4 until 5 a.m., and it's 4:53, and so therefore we got to come close to wrapping this thing up. In the Valspar Championship Golf Tournament, Bill Haas is 8 under par, giving him a one-stroke lead over Graham DeLotte, who is 7 under. Charlie Hoffman and Ryan Moore are 3 strokes back at 5 under. I think Jordan Spieth is 2 under, so he's trailing by 6 going into the final round. Okay, other sports of interest, perhaps. Excuse me. The Patriots signed special teamer Nate Ebner. He's also a linebacker. So that shores up. Maybe he'll shore up. Maybe he'll get more playing time now that I think Fletcher has retired. And so has Gerard Mayo. The big signing so far for the Patriots has been wide receiver Chris Hogan from the Buffalo Bills. Hogan has decent speed. He can stretch the field a little bit and also, you know, not afraid to run over the middle. Probably a good backup for Edelman and Danny Amendola. Is he the big game breaker? No, but he adds, he's sure-handed and he's been nicknamed 7-11, meaning he's always open. I thought that was kind of cute. And so therefore, hopefully that's going to help somewhat in the Patriots passing game. We also signed defensive tackle Frank Kearse from Washington. He's had been in the league 4 years, and I think we may not be able to sign Akeem Hicks, who I believe is a free agent. So Kearse would provide. And also, I think they've cut ties with Siva Saliga. And so, therefore, who's also a free agent. So, therefore, Kearse is going to hopefully fill in the defensive line. The Patriots also received 4 compensatory picks for the free agents that we've lost recently. And that makes up a little bit for the loss of their number 1 pick this year and the number 4 pick next year. We get a 3rd rounder, which will be the 96th pick in the draft, and we get 3 6th rounders, 208, 214, and 221. So that should, like I said, first of all, we may get quality players if we draft well, and so we won't have to pay them as much money, and so we may be under the cap to get somebody else, who knows. James Devlin, who was out most of the year with a broken leg, is back, and we sign him. He'll be the fullback, blocking back, hopefully give Brady some more protection back there. We sign linebacker Ramon Humber. I never heard of him, and he was a free agent. And we also signed re-signed Adrian Waddle, offensive tackle, and we certainly need help in the offensive line. Okay, 4:56. Before we put the wraps on this edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, let's go to the Red Sox. If you're a new listener, I don't give spring training scores. They're meaningless. You know, a lot of guys, you know, who may not even be on the ball club. Trying to make the ball club, etc., etc. Some guys who, have contracts which say, okay, we're invited to spring training, but there's no guarantee we're going to stay with the club. We're not going to take a voluntary trip to the minors or anything like that. So you don't know what's going on. It gives you somewhat of an idea about individual players. And since I muffed it, like I said, on the Bruins, as far as what their great need was, my sleeper pick this year for the Red Sox is Alan Craig, who we got from St. Louis. Alan Craig came over after trying to recover from a leg injury and had a poor year, first year, sent down to the minors and hit a little bit, but not with the power you would expect from Alan Craig. But so far, he has been hitting. And the thing I like about Alan Craig, not only was he a good hitter in the National League before he got injured, but he also can play first base, right field, and left field. And so I had him making the ball club. So you can say, where is he going to play? It may force them to send Travis Shaw back to Pawtucket. But it also gives them a very deep bench. I can see Craig subbing with Jackie Bradley Jr. in right field against left-handed pitchers. He could also play first base in the late innings for defense. If we keep Travis Shaw, he could also play third base for defensive purposes in the late innings. And he can also play first base and both corner outfield positions as well. And it gives the Red Sox some options. We have super sub Brock Holt, our only all-star last year. And I would see him probably, filling in somewhat. Well, he can fill in anywhere. And he probably will because he's a left-handed bat for some of the right-handed batters occasionally as the season draws on. But I see him primarily as a backup for Dustin Pedroia at second base. Keep Dustin healthy and rested. That's what we need, a healthy and rested Dustin Pedroia. He goes